digging in the dirt. Digging in the dirt.
This is Digging in the Dirt with Kevin Gallagher, where Kevin and his guests dig a little deeper into today's issues surrounding the environment, farming, gardening, and food.
So welcome to Digging in the Dirt. My guest this afternoon is Ray Archuleta, and he is the owner of Soil Health Academy. Ray teaches soil health and the principles of agroecology throughout the country. He's an inspiring advocate for the soil health quality in the United States and around the world. He has a lot of people follow what he says, and he's passionate about his subject. Ray is sometimes known as Ray the Soils Guy, and I can see why, because people want to know what Ray has to say about soil health. Why is it that you're in demand to be heard? I mean, you're obviously a good teacher, but you know, I think that you cross territories. You cross from the people who want to do all the really far out stuff, the cutting edge, and you get to the people who are doing the conventional and are seeing problems and want to change. And why is that? Is it because you understand where they're coming from, or is it they're pushed by economics to listen to you and change?
I am them. I was in both spectrums. I was raised in a conventional type industrial ag, where we were taught in college to use a lot of chemical fertilizer salts. That's how the soil was fed, through fertilizer, and taught how to use herbicides, fungicides, talked about genetic splicing and all these other things. It was all about control. That's what I was taught in college. Control, force, manipulate. Now I've learned, no, that's not the way. It's that premise was wrong. And now I've learned a premise where I've learned nurture, understand, love it, collaborate with it, work with it in synchrony, all these different premises. I understand both worlds. I am in both those worlds still. Mm-hmm. And I teach one group and I teach another group. So I understand them.
So when you go in there, you sort of size up the crowd.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Because you need to know who you're talking to.
Absolutely. When I go in the Midwest and I'm dealing with big producers, I have to remember their context. That's why you heard one of my favorite principles of soil health is context, context, context. You got to understand the social context, the cultural context of the people, the ecological context, even the spiritual context, because, you know, different races, like in Hawaii, the land is very spiritual to them. The Native Americans, very spiritual. Don't separate those things out. You always have to understand the context that who your audience is, their context.
Do the people out in the Midwest get that when you start talking about spirituality?
A lot of us, believe it or not, we were taught our Christian Judeo principles really teach that we should be nurturing the planet, that it's alive and it's the creation. We should be one of the best stewards. So I think that we need to bring what you call eco-theology into the discussion. Eco means the house. Theology means God, the study of God's house. We're trying to say, look, there's an incredible designer. And we're saying, mimic the design. Don't work against the design. And I think what we got to do is start teaching in the churches. Case in point, Joe Salatin, very good. You may know who Joe Salatin is, Kevin. Probably one of the best regenerative ag persons. But he wrote a wonderful book called The Marvelous Pigness of Pigs. And where in that book, here's a man who is a farmer, regenerative farmer. He's a Christian, but yet he found himself having more commonality with people who are non-Christian and maybe on the other side politically, but yet believed in nurturing the planet like they did. And it was frustrating to him that if we claim that we're God's people and we believe that the planet was designed, why aren't we taking care of it? So what I love about his whole book, the premise of his book, is he challenges the Christian community and say, hey, we're being hypocritical. We need to we really need to stand up and say, hey, this is not acceptable. We should be teaching in our churches, our high schools, our communities. And so I feel like, I think an article that came out in the New York Times, and it was way back, and there was this, can't remember the author, and was blaming Christianity for the destruction of the planet. But when you read the article, first, from a Christian's perspective like mine, I would say, well, that's insulting. But as you go through his point, you could see his argument was right. Because sometimes in the churches we thought, well, God gave man dominion. Well, it was taken out of context, but people don't understand he put us as his, we were supposed to be his representative in taking care of this incredible design, this beautiful planet. And what Joel done, and I respect what he's done, I finally, somebody spoke out how I've been feeling for the last 5 years. He put it on paper and he challenges everybody. So I was something I read and I was so excited because finally, we need to knock the barriers down in our Judeo-Christian churches to say, hey, come on, let's take care of this creation. And I think that's what that book did beautifully.
And is it coming about because they're also seeing the problems? I mean, we've been abusing the land. And,
yes.
And the soil is really the reason why people are listening to you, because you're getting results.
Yes.
That, you know, if a farmer is getting depleted crops because of what he does to his land, and then he starts paying attention to some of the concepts that you're saying, yeah, and he's doing well, then that produces change.
Yes, and I think one of the things that the reason of thinking about bringing eco-theology into the discussion, and it doesn't matter, you don't have to be Christian, you don't have to be of any denomination. The discussion is, one of my principles I taught is that you cannot build ecological integrity without human integrity. And that's integrity of character, wholeness of thought, it's integrity. That integrity should be through all of our system, from political to economic. But you cannot have that integrity if you don't have a moral people that are pushing for this integrity. And then that integrity brings the integrity of the soil health back, the function of it, wholeness of it, and it permeates from there and it goes through all the communities. Imagine if all of us farmed more ecologically. It would change the rural America. Money would go from corporate America back to the farm. A lot of people don't realize farmers are suffering right now. Economically, they're suffering quite a bit. They're barely making it. And yet, as we produce more and more and more food, we depress the price more and more and more. But the farmers are caught in a system that is vicious. And we all created it socially and culturally. And now we're stuck with this. Now, how are we going to change it and create a bridge that we can bring the healing process, but yet retain our farmers? And I call that agroecology. Agroecology says, take the construct that you have, don't throw the tools away, but bring in the ecological holistic framework so you can start mimicking nature, and so that you can wean yourself of some of those costly petroleum-based tools. Tillage, fertilizers, herbicides, chemicals.
Machinery.
So, and then make our farms a lot smaller. We don't have to be farming the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like your guy Chapman, who's now reduced his millions of dollars of loans for all that stuff.
Yeah.
To half already. He's looking to get rid of all of it.
Yeah, and can you imagine this young man borrowing 5.4 million acres, this young man in Arkansas, Adam Chappell, who went from 5.4 million to 2.7 borrowing. In less than 5 years, he's knocked that much debt down. And then he doesn't have to borrow that much. And then he's able to pay his debt off and then be able to, him and his brother, to have a very profitable business. And he's excited about farming. You know, one of the things I noticed, Kevin, when people go to this system, they're excited about farming again.
Right.
They fall in love with farming. Because most people come economically. I grab them from an economic perspective. Rarely do I say, do I find a human being, oh, I want to save the planet. Most producers, everybody, they got to feed the family. Oh, Maslow in college told us, unless you meet the basic needs physiologically, you can't go to self-actualization. In other words, you can't meet basic needs. You got to feed the family. You got to pay the bills. Once you meet those needs, then you can go to the higher level of that triangle, is where you start thinking about morality, community, and start doing other things. Mm. You've got to address the economics, and then the ecology comes. In reality, if we all focus on the ecology first, the economics would come anyway. Mm. But I got to bring them where they're at. So most people come to this economics. And once they start finding that their souls are improving, they start falling in love with farming.
Makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So the ecology is a system, and you're saying farming is a system mm-hmm. that is biomimicry of,
yes.
of the ecology.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all systems. But the one thing interesting I found in what you said is that if you leave out one part of the system, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So you have to really buy in to the whole system.
You do. I think where a lot of people fail miserably, they never believed in it. They brought their own thought process, their old thought process into a new system. It's like bringing new wine to an old wineskin. It's just going to rupture. There's a new wine, you need a new wineskin.
Okay.
It, like using the biblical analogy, don't come with your own thought process. You're dealing with a living, dynamic ecosystem. Just like your dog, it's trillions of cells working together as a collective in synchrony. Same thing. We are cells. We're these 7 trillion cells working together in synchrony as a unit. And so what I'm trying to tell people is start looking at things as wholes and watch nature's patterns and how she works.
So, you know, Ray, I had a young farmer on my program recently, and he said to me that he felt that tilled land was an open wound on the side of the earth. And that really struck me. And I'm just a really serious gardener. And so for the first time this year, at the end in the fall, I planted a cover crop to cover up my 20 by 20 garden. And I'm really happy about it. I don't see many weeds anymore, but you know, it's not what we're talking about here with all the farmers, but I got it when he said that. And you've said something similar to it, that the earth has an armor that protects it underneath.
Mm-hmm. It's the skin.
The skin, right.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I was thinking it might be called, because of that, what that guy's analogy was, a vegetative scab.
I like that. That's beautiful. That's a great analogy. He understood.
Yeah, young guy, too.
And that's what we're trying to tell people is that, my goodness, you're dealing with a living, dynamic ecosystem, that soil. That garden that you interface with is alive.
Right. So explain biomimicry to me again.
Biomimicry, I love it, the simple word, mimic life. That's all it's telling you, mimic life. Mimic the architecture of nature. Watch her how she does business. Some of my most powerful scientific discoveries was just by emulating it. We're now creating soil tests that do biomimicry. We're using mimic elephant trunks that we're creating robotics out of it. Velcro was designed by biomimicry, mimicking a weed.
So we're not really inventing a new wheel here. We're just going back and looking at what Mother Nature's always done.
Absolutely.
But we're going to do a little bit better, maybe with technology and computers and things like that, but it's going to be a little bit better.
I say now it should be the foundation premise. This is the way science is. Okay, what is your premise based on? Is it based on control and force? And I'm talking the agriculture sciences and even the medical sciences. Or is it a mimic and emulate? And then learn how to use her chemistry to facilitate health.
Mm-hmm.
Why work against it?
Mm-hmm.
Why force it? The answers are there.
Yeah, that seems to be where we're going.
Makes sense.
Take care of the Gaia.
Sure, absolutely. Take care of it. And I think that's where we get our health from.
What gets farmers the most to make the switch? What do you think when you start explaining to them? Is it like that soil test where they spray the rain and
yeah?
Is that
seems... Oh, that's powerful. When I go teach, typically I take my soil demonstrations. In this group here, I don't have to do that. There's a time limitation, but if I'm dealing with I go into a farm situation and I'll take out my soil demonstrations. In my soil demonstration, I have to bust up all your paradigms in the first 5 or 10 minutes, or you're not going to listen to me. Just the way it is. I got to break the compaction between the ears. And those soil demonstrations do a very powerful thing.
The soil demonstration is...
The slake test I use, my little miniature rain simulator, the big rain simulator, I do many demonstrations, and I take them out there with a shovel.
Right.
And then I connect with them. And then we use those demonstrations, and then they're ready to be built back up.
Do you think there's a trend going on here? Is there really, like Montgomery says, a revolution happening?
Yes. He's right. The revolution may be, it's a silent revolution, and it's going to change the world. People are no longer accepting this. If you would have asked me 12 years ago about this, I was once with my peers, and I said to them, when we were studying the soil health movement, I was working for the government, I told them, we're going to change this. I said, I want commercials in the Super Bowl talking about earthworms and soil health. And they laughed at me.
That'd be awesome.
He says, Ray, that's impossible. I said, why are you so interested to keep eating the crumbs under the table? Why are we not seeking for a higher good? That why not? And sure enough, I was at my parents' home, and I was visiting, and there was a commercial on TV on soil health by our agency.
That's awesome.
I said, why do we dream so little? Why are we so complacent and happy with crumbs under the table? No more. And it's not just me. There's an army of young people and passionate people from all ages and all genders, and this is happening. And it's going to happen through food.
They're questioning, why should I give it to the bank and Big Chem and Big Ag?
Absolutely.
Why can't I keep most of it?
And they should. And that's what I love about the soil health movement. See, there's really no money in health, in the medical field or in the agriculture field. See, because if you're healthy, what kind of drugs do I have to sell you? How much fertilizer and chemicals? You don't. And so once you start realizing there's freedom in this, I call it freedom farming, where farmers are liberated from everybody. They take the risk. They should get a majority of the profit. Why not? And then if they get the majority of the profit, it goes into the community. I want control to them and to the consumer. And that's why I love what Dan's doing in this conference is, if we can create an instrument that gives the soccer mom the power to see which food is nutrient dense, no matter what system is done, no matter the label, because the label, like organic, it's control. Somebody's controlling somebody. But if you give an instrument where the soccer mom can actually test her fruit or her vegetable and determine nutrient density right there on her app, on her phone, power to her.
Right.
And then power to the landowner. She'll be rewarded for doing such a good job.
So we should mention to the audience that this, what Ray is talking about here, is the bionutrient meter, or it's been affectionately called the gizmo around here because, you know, everybody wants to name it something. But it does seem to be a game changer in the sense that, and it looks like it's possible to pull it off.
I think with our new technology, it's going to be. I think we need to empower. I think I was reading an article this morning. I was flipping through my Flipboard, and I was going through how the food fight in Washington. There's a giant food fight. Nabisco, Nestle's, and all these big companies, they're starting to part ways. And they're beginning to...
I read that article.
Yeah, you saw that.
Yeah.
They're getting to realize it is no longer a silent little movement. This movement is going to be moved through our belly.
Right.
People want quality.
They want to know, too.
And they want to know. They want to be empowered. I think right now, when I say integrity, there's a lack of quality. There's a famine in the land of quality. Quality food, quality construct,
healthcare.
Quality government, quality healthcare, quality people.
Right, yeah.
And so that famine.
The quality people have to stand up and start leading.
That's exactly. And they're saying, we're fed up.
That's what I like about Kittredge is that he says, we're not going to worry about what we don't like. We're going to worry about where we want to go, what we want to do, what do we want it to be. Mm-hmm. And I like that as part of you. I mean, I sort of see you're not just a soil health expert. You're a lifestyle expert for a whole swath of the country.
Yeah, because I told Gabe and I, a good friend of my other business partner, because we own, there's four of us that own this company, Soul Health Academy. We've decided that we don't like what's coming out of the schools. We want to teach a school, we want to have a school that we teach holistic, ecologically, a system that gets us away from our human-centric government programs, chemical inputs. We want to get away from all that human-centric and be more creation-centric, more ecologically-centric, and say get, and that allows that freedom. So that's why we've decided to create that. We want a system that creates an army of young people and educates them and gets them away from reductionist science and teach more holistic science and ecological science. And this is not hippie words. Holistic means see the whole picture.
The system.
Yeah. See the whole system. And sometimes when you said holistic, I remember in Kentucky I said the word holistic and one producer goes, oh my God, I thought, right, that's a hippie word. I said, no, the hippies were too drugged up to see that one. Just means holes. Just don't get caught up on the language. Understand, I want you to see the big picture.
Right. Each part affects the other part.
Absolutely.
Right. And I understand you're talking about, I was speaking to Ray Archuleta, who's now one of the owners of Soil Health Academy, right? Mm-hmm. And you've just started that. And I see why it's possible that you started it, because you must feel that there's a lot of influence exerted by big chem, big ag.
Sure.
On the universities.
And the governments.
And, yeah, and the government. They're all sort of been co-opted. Even people who used to work for X corporation is now in the government directing policy for the government.
People get mad when I tell them that there's an incredible incestual relationship there. Mm-hmm. And it's massive inbreeding where you cannot get the right thing to occur because money controls it all.
So that's like where the from this whole massive group who are exerting through their wealth the influence on policy.
Yes.
That's where we get things like you can't feed the world without us.
Oh, I hate that. Oh, Kevin, I'm glad you brought that up. That is the most pathetic diatribe I hear a politician stand up in front of a large group of farmers and make them feel guilty and says, you don't understand, farmers, you feed the world. Baloney. We're causing more starvation. I'm an ex-Peace Corps volunteer that lived in Guatemala for several years. Let's teach them soil health and we can feed the planet. Good ecological farming, we can feed more people and teach them to feed themselves. But now we're shipping our nutrients, our water all over the world and degrading our soils. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make any sense. We're not here to feed the world. We're here to help teach the world to feed themselves. It's a great way to make the producer in his bondage to be content with the crumbs.
Right.
But it'll make you feel good though when you're feeding the planet because you're putting 80-hour work weeks, and then you have the farmers have the highest suicide rate according to the Center of Disease in 2016.
I don't believe it.
Oh yeah, that's an epiphany.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, wonderful. The highest suicide rate is farming and ranching, according to the top 30 careers.
In the world or the U.S.?
The U.S.
Wow.
But it's also happening in other parts.
India is going crazy.
India, they're depressed because they have to buy this GMO stuff, and then they never had to do. They saved their own seed.
Right.
And so everybody's got control.
They're all broke.
It's kind of the words of Upton Sinclair. It's hard to educate a man if his check depends on him not understanding it. And so that's what this is
wise
about.
Man. Yeah. Let's bring it to the average person, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say I'm just Joe Gardner. I have a very good gardener. I interview people who tell me all kinds of stuff. I implement some of those concepts, and my garden's doing great. I'm happy. My neighbor's tomatoes are lousy. Mine are great.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I put some of the stuff. I can't do it all. What is the average person listening who has a garden, or maybe a large garden, and he's really serious or he's not serious? What can they do that is going to be helpful in this kind
good
of
situation? Good question, Kevin. What I would do is I go on YouTube and type the word lasagna garden. Lasagna garden, no-till. It will show you step by step how you make, all of us have made a lasagna before, or an enchilada. can you layer the cheese in the corn tortilla or the noodles? Everybody knows how to make a lasagna. A lasagna garden is using carbon layers like cardboard and grass. You never throw your grass clippings. You never throw your leaves. You layer it like a lasagna. And then let the microbes and the earthworms and all that awesome biology break it down and feed it and fertilize the soil. You don't have to till the soil. Tillage destroys the soil. When you till, you wake up these bacteria and they start eating the organic matter and the glues, they die and they release nitrate and you stimulate weeds. So the more you till, the more weeds you have, and everybody hates pulling weeds. Lasagna garden. Google it on YouTube. Pretty simple, lasagna garden, and then hugelkultur, using wood chips, and use wood chips, use all your carbon. We work too hard. And the more you disturb soil, less.
But Ray, you know, if you're out in suburbia where I am, the perfect lawn with all the chemicals, the most toxic thing in the world is the neighborhood lawns.
Yep.
I don't throw any mine on, nothing on my lawns. You know, I have some biology I throw in there. But the lawn looks fairly good, but it's not like all the other lawns. You know, it's green.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a big step for a suburbanite to do that. And also, in his garden, they've always been saying it's got to be perfect, you know, like you were explaining.
It's a cultural thing. All of us of European descent, we got this thing of linearity. All of things got to be homogenous. Wrong. What I do is I like leaves that fall on top. What do? Put them on the plastic bag. They take it out and they burn them. No, put them on the compost bin, and use all that food substrate, carbon, weed suppressors, and layer it there. And then the grass clippings. Believe it or not. You know, if it's got the chemical fertilizer, it's not going to be an issue. But if you're using a lot of herbicides and that, that may be more of an issue. But literally, look, I'm a pretty cheap guy. A lot of guys don't put too much on their lawn. In case you're very particular and you'll start using a lot of stuff, but I guess a hit and miss thing. But
the landscapers have a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, and they can be taught differently, but. You can do wood chips, you can do, leaves, everybody's got them. Especially in the Northeast and where I live, a lot of leaves, so I save all of them.
So I know you're totally a no-till for everything.
Yes.
So what does a guy do, like me? I grow tomatoes, and I used to use my little rototiller to do the thing. I don't do it anymore. Right. And what do? You just dig a hole to put the plant in when you buy your plant?
That's all you got to do.
Just don't disturb it. Try to disturb it as least as possible.
Absolutely. Here's what I do, too, is old cardboard. I save it. And then what I'll do is I layer it in my garden. And then what I'll do is I have a drill, a battery-operated drill. And do you remember when you have these tools where you make a drill for a doorknob?
Right.
A big hole. Beep, beep, beep.
And then put the plant in.
I put my plant in, cover it with soil. I got my cardboard, no weeds. And the cardboard disappears because the microbes break it down.
Right.
We work too hard. And then my leaf mulches and all that, beautiful tomatoes. They don't get, the soil doesn't crack, it doesn't crust because you got a skin on it. And that skin's completely being broken down by earthworms and biology and the moisture, and it's gone.
Yeah, the earthworms love cardboard.
Oh, they love cardboard because it's carbon food. See, they love, that's what they love, is that the bacteria and protozoa. See, when the bacteria start breaking it down, you got fungal, here come the amoebas, here come the nematodes, here comes to the party, and here comes the earthworm to suck them all up. So they're farming. So...
Yeah, that video you showed of the worm dragging the plant down the hall.
Isn't that cool?
That's a serious worm.
That's a serious worm.
That was the most amazing thing to me, was the bioturbation.
Yes. Isn't that cool?
That's really great.
Because
I've never heard the term before.
Yeah, it's kind of like instead of using tillage or any of those, bioturbation. Bioturbation means biology mixing and
breaking down.
See, I call organic matter, a lot of people call it that dark, fluffy material. That's part of it. I call organic matter the secretions, the excretions, the lifeblood. It's the some organism died, got eaten, got consumed, and all that biological byproduct creating these super molecules after all this was done. encapsulates and embeds the geology with these beautiful coatings. That is what we're talking about, these incredible supermolecules in the soil. Organic matter is not just organic matter. It's much more elegant than that.
So we're talking to Ray Archuleta. He's from the Soil Health Academy, and really enjoying your wisdom. I want to ask you, before we wrap up here, any one thing that you'd like to part with anybody who would be listening about, you know, the subject matter? Is there something really important that we've missed?
Sometimes I'm reminded, there's a really good Christian song called Do Something. Sometimes people want to know, sometimes we hear in the news about climate change. Sometimes you get on the news, it's almost depressing that you hear the planet's dying. It's going to get to a point that the Earth's going to be sucked into this ocean. And it's almost like a hopeless, godless narrative that nobody's in control. And it's depressing. I say, no, we can change this. It's very empowering. It's connecting and speaking to people. People don't realize that, you know, how important soil and plants are for the small water cycle, for the local climate. 40% of our rain comes from plants and soil interface transpiring this moisture. 40% of our rain. Mm-hmm. 60% comes from the ocean. What we're saying is we can do, as a people, we can do something very simple. It's teach our young to start touching the soil and get in enmeshed into the biology of the soil and get in the gardens. The thing that's hurting us as a people, we're distracted and we're detached. We're distracted with our everyday lives. We're distracted with our little tools, our little electronics, and our own personal lives. And yet we're very detached from the natural system. We're part of it. And the more we get engaged in supporting groups that teach farmers and ranchers and it starts teaching, we should be teaching this in the churches, we need to teach it in the high schools and the grade schools, and teaching that the soil and the planet were part of it. In fact, the word humus is derivative from the word humus, from the soil. So we're dirt on legs. And start getting people to connect back. So the most important thing is grow a garden. I love the idea that people are starting to have backyard chickens and those kind of simple things to teach their kids. It will change your kids' lives. My kids got into farming and in the sciences because we have a small farm. Mm-hmm. So what I'm getting at is there is hope. And sometimes it gets depressing to hear all this. The scientists that are communicating poorly to our people. And then you get these political factions, one side or the other. Well, it's not man-made. Of course it's man-made. We're intrusive. And we have a lot of bare soil that's covering. Mm-hmm. But it can be fixed very, very quickly. And so I have a lot of hope.
My final question was, are you optimistic?
I'm a terrible optimistic, terribly optimistic. I am so hopeful. If you would have asked me, Kevin, 12, 13 years, I had no hope. I was depressed.
Yeah.
Now I have hope. I have a lot of hope.
Seems to be a lot of disparate groups doing the same thing.
Yes.
A lot of places.
Yes.
And it seems to be coming together a little bit. They're connecting.
Absolutely. And we're,
to me.
And that's why I don't like to take credit for any of this. It's together as a collective of people that love and care. And so the best thing we can do is love the planet and love the people and be patient with each other. We all want the same thing, but we're not talking to each other. So, and that's what this movement's about, connecting. And I think this change is happening more than you. It is a revolution, and David Montgomery's right, and it's occurring. And I'm excited about it.
To keep up the good fight. Thank you, Ray Archuleta.
Thank you, Kevin.
Digging in the dirt, digging in the dirt.
You've been listening to Digging in the Dirt with Kevin Gallagher.